Welcome to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo Podcast. You got two hosts. One of them's old Mr. Rope Dog over here.
Ooh.
The other one is Mr. Hunter.
Hunter over here.
Over Hunter over there.
See, like, I actually have a really hillbilly name. It's a Hunter.
Hey, we have, Hunter. Like, the most country-sounding names for a pop punk podcast.
It's true, but you have a way cooler name than mine, even though it's not your real name.
It is.
David.
Roper's my middle name.
I know. I mean, my middle name's John. Should I just go by John from now on? But it's spelled wrong. It's J-O-N.
Yeah, that's a cardinal sin right there.
My parents, they're no, like, really happy.
Let's
with
cut
them.
Out the silent word. Or the silent letter.
I know. It's like, why are we bouncing around?
Let's
this
cut out
right
the middle, man. My dad's is spelled J-O-H-N.
Ah, the correct way.
The correct way. The way God intended.
I know. Fuck. My parents were like, not feeling this. But you know what we are feeling, Roper?
Oh.
Our topic of the day.
What is that?
Oh, let me tell you.
What is it?
The top five bands we sleep on.
Oh, boy.
All right, here's the deal.
I was tired earlier.
Here's the deal. Top five bands we sleep on. Important because, first of all, these are big bands.
Huge.
Not all of them.
But Donald Trump, huge.
Huge. But for sure, like, I think a lot of people are going to, like, look at us differently after we admit that we're not really into some of these huge bands right now,
they're
motherfucker.
Like, you guys are a bunch of frauds.
Yeah. If you heard that ding, that is just me being
social butterfly.
A social butterfly. Correct.
Normally, not the case.
It is like, if you can never talk to me, that would be great.
The sun was out, and he's like, let's actually do something today.
That is a huge thing
and
for
me. And I was like, wow.
I am a basement dweller. And I enjoy that. We literally record in my basement.
Yep.
Fantastic quality, as always. Roper, can I tell you a story today?
I would love to hear a great story.
So my boss yesterday was like, hey, turns out that you're going to come in on Saturday.
Wow.
It's like, very depressing. Because we record on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So we had to push it back a little bit. Not a big deal. But, so I deliver cars, essentially. So basically, we walk around the car, we look at it, and I send them to the finance people. Super boring. But here's what happened today.
Ooh.
So the guy's like, hey, where's the parking brake on this? And the parking brake is like a little switch, kind of.
These are Ford Broncos.
These are Ford Broncos I sell. And I'm like, so I open the door to his thing, and I'm like, it's right there. I point at it. He's like, oh, okay, cool. He, like, goes to, like, put the parking brake on. It falls off.
Oh.
I was... This is my first delivery by myself. I'm brand new to the company. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Is this the guy who flew out early?
No, this guy was... flying, the guy that flew out early, super cool guy.
Yeah,
he got me on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
I know. The other guy, very nice gentleman, Wisconsin. So he literally, like, flicked him. He's like, oh no. You know, he's got that Wisconsin accent.
How did he pay you?
He didn't pay me. Like, that's all finance. I don't fucking touch
meats and
that
cheese
shit. I did see a butt loaded amount of cheese on top of the trailer.
Butt loaded amount of cheese.
Mellow cheese, my dude. So anyway, that's my fun story today. Roper, do you have any fun stories?
Not off the top of my head right now. I just kind of had like a boring ass week.
See, that's nice.
But it's Iowa State fair season.
Gross, but
so
awesome.
I've been doing that. Last weekend I went twice. This weekend I'm going twice. I'm going to see the Doobie Brothers tomorrow. It's not very pop punk.
I was gonna say, I don't know what that even
But the reason why I say that is because one of my all time favorite singers is coming back to play for them. I saw them 10 years ago without this guy, and he came back to play with the Doobie Brothers. It's Michael McDonald. None of you guys know who that is.
Me either. So
have you seen 40-year-old Virgin?
Yeah.
So you know when they're
It's the guy on TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't really expect that to come out today.
I know, right? Isn't that funny?
It's a little weird.
It's great, dude. I have his first solo record, and I have probably the best Doobie Brothers like vinyl there is.
You have a nice selection.
Minute by minute. Oh yeah.
It's not just pop punk like mine.
No,
exclusively pop punk.
I listen to everything. Legit, not. I don't put that in my like Tinder or my Bumble bio because.
Bumble. Do you actually use Bumble?
Yeah.
Oh, gross! I hate Bumble.
I just don't like.
Because the whole premise of that is the woman has to speak first, which
exactly.
Is like 100% okay with. But when they just send a hey, so that you don't disappear, I literally look at it and I go, and I move on. I haven't been on dating apps for over a year now, which is crazy.
Really?
I was on Facebook. I was on the Facebook one for like a solid month, maybe, and then I just like was like this is.
I don't want to. I feel like that would be like the Walmart of dating apps.
It is. That's why I used it, because I didn't want to use the
Everybody's like, yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, like, use the Facebook dating. I'm like, no.
That just, I mean, I did meet, like, sound appealing. I did meet some people off there, but anyway, I don't want to talk about my dating life because it's a wreck. So we're
Mine's non-existent.
Oh, okay.
At least yours is a wreck.
I mean, you tell me I'm a wreck.
Say that I'm a mass.
We like to go through our listener responses and moving along quickly, so I want to talk about this stuff. And we asked, what bands do you guys sleep on? So Empty Space, one of our faves, said Hot Mulligan, that is a sin.
Boys.
Listen, don't do that to us.
You gotta at least listen to You'll Be Fine, and then it'll change your mind.
Honestly, I'd recommend their first record over You'll Be Fine.
Actually, I agree with that, because that way you can see the progress of the band, and then you get to where You'll Be Fine is, and you're like, this is a dope-ass band.
But if they only have time for a song, equip sunglasses.
Hands down.
100%.
They got that sweet guitar lick in it, you know. It's
fantastic.
That song, I think I listen to that song at least once a day.
I need to go back, and I've kind of like, because I've listened to it so much, and their EP came out, and the EP, honestly, I gotta say, that's an EP I sleep on. Like, I know it's pretty good, but it reminds me a lot of their EPs, which is fine. Those are quality works.
But you just have to grow, or you have to give it a couple of listens. It'll grow on you.
I know, but I don't want to have to do that, because I've never had to do that with them before. I've instantly fallen in love.
It's so drastically different.
I hope when they release the next record that it's going to be in the vein of the first two.
Yeah, like I think there was some behind the scenes things that went on why they put out that EP. Oh. You'll have to cut that one out.
Oh, I'm not going to now.
Please don't. I haven't done it on the mic for a while, dude.
It's been better. I really don't even touch this microphone because it's full of burps. Anyway, my kind of Matt said Gami Gain is a sick band.
Fuck, so they talk about
Origami Angel.
Yes.
I discovered them through a Spotify playlist, and I wish I heard them sooner. First of all, Gami Gain, that record, holy shit.
That is probably going to be
top three for me of the year, for sure.
Same here.
I'm having trouble placing my list. It's not, the year's not over yet, but I'm always really excited for the end of the year so I can make my top five list.
I don't understand how, like, all their songs are really fucking positive.
Yeah, they are, but they, like, have, like, a sad undertone.
Yeah.
And I love that about them.
It's very weird.
All Systems Go NJ, which I'm assuming stands for New Jersey.
It's a band.
This really upset me, so we're going to talk later. I slept on 4 Year Strong and Chunk, no Captain Chunk, for the longest time, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm mad at you as well. I'm mad at everyone who doesn't love 4 Year Strong or Chunk, no Captain Chunk, because they're one of my favorites.
Okay.
So fucking good. AFI 931 said a sleeper band for me is Conditions. They only have a few records, but never blew up like I thought they would after their Full of War 2013 record came out. I've never listened to
them. Neither have I.
I said that I would, and then I lied. Not that I won't ever, but I'm eventually.
Maybe we should do that after we record this.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
A little you and me time.
We're just hanging out today, man. This is the best.
Today's a good day.
Yeah.
Like, it's so nice outside.
It's a Hunter and Roper day.
It's a Hunter and Roper day for sure. But anyway, Roper, I gotta ask you a question.
What?
Are you ready for the new releases of the week?
Boy, am I.
Okay, Roper. Yep. I'm gonna go first on this one because I'm really excited. So, one of my favorite bands, I say that a lot about a lot of bands, but Sell Your Scores released a new record.
Frick yeah, they did.
It's called Retrofit.
It's really fucking good.
This record's fantastic. The production has been stepped up. It's a little bit more...
It's softer.
It's a little softer. Yeah, I gotta say. But you know what also I have to say is that that doesn't mean that these songs aren't fucking bangers. Now, I know that their main song off this record is fantastic. My favorite song is Meant for Misery.
Okay.
But I actually chose for everyone to listen to because I think it's a great intro band, and that would be 1999. Someone take me back to 1999.
I like this. I like that song. And another great, like what I was telling you in the car earlier, is
Staring at the Ceiling.
Staring at the Ceiling. That song is so catchy.
It's a great song. It's a little lovey-dovey for me.
Yeah, but I like that stuff.
I like it too, but like in my life right now, it just doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit.
So eventually, maybe I'll go back to it.
Maybe you'll stare at the ceiling with somebody one day.
Just you.
I hope so. So
Retrofit, fantastic record all the way through. I've listened to it multiple times. Some of your scores has killed it. I do really enjoy their previous records as well. This is a less easy core record, more pop punk.
That's what I was thinking when you said they were an easy core band.
They are like, an easy core band, though. You listen to the earlier works.
I've listened to some of their earlier stuff after listening to this, and I was like, okay, I can see what he's talking about.
I mean, fantastic overall, though, I gotta say.
Yes.
Roper, what's yours?
I picked Spirit Box's new, I think they put out an EP.
They put out an EP.
But, which is weird, because they're gonna have a full-length album next month.
Hey, man, put all the music out you can.
But I feel like Spotify classed it as an EP, because that's the collection of songs that are gonna be off the record.
Unless they release five fucking songs.
I don't know. I paid for the vinyl already, so we'll see what I get in September.
Tell me about the song, man.
This song's called Hurt You. Song is heavy as fuck.
It is heavy.
Vocalist is phenomenal. The band's fucking phenomenal.
Can we talk about the vocalist a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
So anyone who doesn't know, this vocalist is a female.
Yes.
And I mean, not to like discredit her feminine qualities, but she has the fucking gruffiest voice.
Yes.
And it's so well
it's
done.
It's phenomenal.
I haven't seen her live. Have seen some behind the scenes videos of her in the studio, because people are like, she ain't doing that.
Yeah,
fucking fuck hell she ain't.
Her and her husband were part of I Wrestled a Bear once before they were in Spirit Box.
Interesting.
Yes.
I've heard of that band, haven't listened
to
it.
Dude, I'll have to show you Alaskan Flounder Basket. Dude, that song fucking rips. I don't know if it's her on the vocals, because I know she was like the second singer technically.
Okay.
But that was my introduction to them in high school.
Yes.
Like, this band is insane.
Spirit Box, it's great. So I have my cousin married a guy named Mario. And Mario.
I met him.
Yeah, you did.
He's a very nice dude.
Mario's fantastic. He's a very humble Texan man. But he loves himself some heavy metal.
Yeah, he likes Dance Gavin Dance.
He loves Dance Gavin
Which is like funny, because when I met him, like, he had his shirt tucked in. He's got the cattle belt buckle, you know. Very cowboy-like, which I respect, because, you know, I was supposed to be a cowboy when I was coming up.
The world rejected that idea.
World rejected that. You know, asthma and lack of bull riding.
asthma and lack of bull riding. The perfect combination for what is Roper.
Yep. That's me.
But he recommended Spirit Box to me, because he also, John Coffey, which is a fantastic, has one of the best records.
My cousin showed me that.
John Coffey's fantastic, yes. If you guys haven't heard that. And he recommended me a lot of great bands. John Coffey was the main one. Dance Gavin Dance, we kind of talked to about a little bit. I'm not a huge Dance Gavin Dance fan. Surprisingly, not on my list.
Yeah.
I did pick one of Roper's bands, because he picked two of mine despite me.
I didn't do it despite you. It's just like I literally sleep on them.
Disgusting. Anyway.
I load them up in my bed, and I just sleep on top of them.
I don't know why it's so funny.
It's dumb.
I know, that's why. Other notable releases, Roper. We got Real Friends, Tonight Tonight cover by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Hell yeah.
Here's my thing. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I wish that it, but like, I love Real Friends as a band, especially with a new singer.
Oh,
not that like it discredits the last singer,
it's
Dan.
It's just so much, it's so different.
It's so good.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
You know, once they put out those two fucking songs, I was like,
I think they did
this.
It right. They did it right. They said, hey, fuck social media for like about a year, if not more.
Yeah, because he said, if you go on to Tyler's post, or no, not Tyler, Cody. Tyler's the other guy in Youth Fountain. But Cody, he's like, he made this post like about the last year in his life. And basically he was saying like when the song dropped a year ago from that was when he met up, when he flew out to Chicago and met up with them.
Mm.
So like,
okay. Crazy. So
yeah.
They kind of had this plan.
So the significance of it being on a Monday was like, it was like a year ago. Yeah.
Didn't even think about
that.
Isn't
that dope?
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, Real Friends doing it right.
Hell yeah, dude.
Except this cover. Sorry, it's because it's Smashing Pumpkins. I really feel like that's the reason why.
I'd rather.
It was performed very well.
Yeah, it's really good. I'd rather listen to the Smashing Pumpkins one just because.
Yeah, usually it takes a lot.
They're a really hard band to cover.
Why? Why
just
you say
because
that?
They're so unique. I think Billy Corgan's voice is so unique, and anybody who like tries to like cover it, it falls flat for me. Like one of the people that's on your list did a cover of the Butterfly song by them. And okay. I was not a huge fan of it. But I'm not a huge fan of that song either.
So here's the deal with cover songs. The only way in my mind to do a cover song right. You have to make it better. No, you have to do it differently.
Yes.
You have to make the song different. And I think that's where Real Friends fell flat in my mind. They like tried to imitate an imitation, like best form of flattery.
Exactly. Sure.
Does it actually work for... Okay. Does it actually work for...
I didn't mean to say that.
No, it's fine.
Zachary.
Zachary. Zachary, if you're listening.
Exactly.
Shout out to you.
Hell yeah.
We don't know Zachary. My song, Mayday Parade's Bad at Love. Fantastic little jingle. It's a little poppy for my taste.
I haven't heard it yet.
You haven't heard it yet?
No.
It's very poppy. It's very like I could hear it on the pop station on the radio.
Ooh.
Maybe so that's I think what that's Mayday Parade's thing. It's that and all right, I just want to mention this. Recently, this is The Wildlife.
This Wildlife.
Thank you. This Wildlife released a song and I hated it.
I'm not.
It was like bad pop.
After their first record, I was like, okay, the novelty's kind of worn off for me.
They have some really good songs.
They have really
songs.
Good, cute songs and stuff. I'm just like, I like that first record was really fucking good and it was a novelty to me.
Well, they're fucking talented, beautiful voices, amazing guitarists.
Yeah, I've seen them multiple times. First time I saw them was at Seven Flags. And they opened up for Sleeping with Sirens.
Oh, okay.
And, like, they were the first opener, and, like, they blew me away.
Dude.
And then I left before Sleeping with Sirens, because I think they're dog shit.
Well, sorry to all our Sleeping
Sirens. Sorry, Batch.
Hey, so, this is so stupid, but I watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Oh.
And often do they bring on musical acts at the end of, like, a date.
Were they on there?
They bring on this musical act for one, like at the end of the date, and then like they dance to it. It's romantic, and I laugh because it's The Bachelor. And
so
this,
funny.
This Wildlife.
Bachelor.
This Wildlife was on The Bachelor.
What song did they play?
Fuck if I know, but it was awesome.
If they didn't play Concrete, I'm getting the fuck out of there.
I don't remember. That's actually not my favorite song by them.
Mine's the No More Bad Days. That one's really good.
I can't remember the one that I really like.
They do an awesome Blink-182 cover live.
Oh, yeah?
Every time I've seen them play, they've played it. It was like their closer. It was dope.
Why would you close with a cover?
I don't know if it was necessarily the closer.
Maybe if like your Alien Ant Farm.
It was like closer to the end. No, Alien Ant Farm would close with fucking Movies, dude. They would open up with Smooth Criminal and close with Movies.
Although,
and then in the middle of that, you'd be like, what the fuck am I listening to?
Yeah, I was like, why am I here? Sorry, Alien Ant Farm. Anyway, so we'd like to shout out the Pop Punkers page on Reddit. There is a fantastic gentleman who always shares the new releases of the week where we pull the information from. Also, you guys have been hearing some songs that I edit in there. These songs and often many more amazing songs, old and new, are on the Spotify playlist that Roper curates every single week. And it's I gave it to him because he listens to more music than I do. He's fantastic. Stop burping into the mic.
I just realized I did that again.
I saw you lean in for it. It's fantastic. Please give it a follow. It's on our Spotify page. I don't even remember what we called it. It's like the
Pop Punk Emo Supremo Picks.
Yeah, there it is, baby. And it's fucking like I take a walk every day after work and I always listen to it. It's so good.
Oh, nice.
No, I know. I'm like gassing you up today.
Look at this, dude.
Pat himself on the back. Beautiful. Okay, all right. Are you ready for our top five bands we sleep on?
Let's get on it. So the first band that I sleep on is one of Hunter's favorite bands.
Oh.
Less Than Jake.
Oh, my gosh. I'm actually excited to hear what you had to say.
Yeah. Less Than Jake is an American ska punk band from Gainesville, Florida. Less Than Jake formed on July 13th, 1992. So they're a whole 6 months. Or
6 months.
They're like a whole like 4 months older than me.
Oh, yeah. No, that band is like...
as a band.
Has been fucking ripping it forever.
Which is like, it's cool because I didn't want to like give a full bio because that... I mean, if you want to hear their full bio, check out our episode with Vinny on there.
Yeah, Vinny's fantastic. Even though he wasn't a part of Less Than Jake at that time. He moved on. And that's okay. He's still fantastic.
The band got their name from Vinny's dog, family dog.
Oh, excuse me.
Where everybody, like, the way that he described it, he's like, Jake was usually treated better than everybody in the household, so everything was less than Jake. I think that's hilarious.
That's actually fantastic.
This is my parents' dogs now.
It's so funny because, like, on the episode we talked to Vinny, he was like, yeah, we just kept changing up the story because we got so bored.
Oh, I don't blame him.
Yeah, because less than Jake's like an original name. You know?
30 years of, almost 30 years of them explaining
this. Yeah, explain why their band name is the way it is.
Yeah, the band released their debut studio album, Pezcore, in August 22nd, 1995, through Dill Records. Guess how old I was in 1995?
Three.
You're right, dude.
I knew because you're 3 years older than me, and so I was born in 95.
So right, dude. God, Sky with all the answers over here.
What up? I love Austin Jake.
So a lot of, we have something on here saying, like, how did they gain fame?
Yeah.
A lot of it's, like, kind of hard to distinguish when they actually, like,
took off. I took a lot of guesses in mine.
So I'm kind of generalizing. I'm saying that they toured a lot.
They did. They're one of the best touring bands.
They still tour.
They kill it. They're never home.
I think they really took off when they opened up for like Bad Religion, and they even opened up for Bon Jovi. Did you know that?
I did know that. That was a while ago.
That had to be like 2002-ish, 2001. Mm-hmm. The one with I can't remember what. It's my life.
It's now or never. I love Bon Jovi, dude.
I ain't gonna live forever.
Bon Jovi's pop punk. Don't at me.
Oh man, my dad hates Bon Jovi. He was roasting Chris about it last weekend.
Oh my god, Bon Jovi's amazing.
Yeah,
Bon Jovi's like, oh my god, it's like better Nickelback.
Better Nickelback?
Better Nickelback.
I disagree with you.
You like Nickelback more than Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
We have to take a break from this podcast.
I like maybe like 3 or 4 songs by Bon Jovi.
That's all you need.
Off the top of my head. And then, like, Nickelback, I'm like...
Nickelback does have albums of, like, solid material, for sure.
Yeah. So I think they got famous because of, like, extensive touring, opening up for, like, bigger pop-punk bands, and even Bon Jovi. Wow, Roper.
Bon Jovi, baby.
I think they gained most of their popularity from, like, generations of people by constantly being on Warped Tour.
Yeah.
And I think that was like their biggest, like, because think of how many, like, how long Warped Tour was, and they were on the fucking bill at least every other year.
I think that they were like one of the first bands that were actually starting Warped Tour with Kevin Lyman.
Yeah. And also back in the early 2000s, there's a huge like influx of like pop punk and ska music being in movies. I would say late 90s, early 2000s. But
yeah,
I'm about to say it.
What is it?
It didn't like help, or it didn't hurt them being featured in like Good Burger.
There it is.
And then, like you said, the Digimon movie, it put a whole new like generation onto them, such as you.
Can I? Yeah. All right. Let me just take a quick sideline here. So the Digimon movie soundtrack changed my life.
Yeah, it's probably like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
That's my Tony Hawk Pro Skater, because I didn't play the game as younger, but I watched the Digimon movie like extensively as a child. Less than Jake, fucking All-Star on there.
You can't go wrong with Mighty Bastones. Are they French now?
Bastones. They're on there. That honestly, I never really talk about on this podcast, but like, the impression that I get.
Oh, I love that song.
Has to be like one of my favorite songs of all time.
It's funny. Like me and my buddies went and saw Real Big Fish, and that was like the first technical, like not. I mean, I've seen ska bands play, but this was like the first like ska like reggae show that I was actually.
Was that
like,
in Des Moines?
Yeah, it was at Nightfall on the River over by the Brenton Skating Plaza.
Never seen them,
dude. There. One of the best shows I've ever been to.
They know how to put on a show.
Yeah,
that is for sure. And everyone there, there was one jackass there. This guy, this bigger guy, bigger gentleman, dancing his little heart out. And this big guy, this like buff, like macho dude, was like, "Hey man, calm down." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding
me? You're
at
a concert."
I like looked at that. I was drunk as fuck. I looked at him like, "Dude, let's fucking dance."
Yeah.
And we were like, "You can't see me dancing, but I was."
He's got some sick moves.
Oh, dude, did he? Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic gentleman. Fantastic band.
Absolutely.
Real Big Fish is like, I hate to say it, they've fallen in my list of favorite bands.
They're one of my favorite
bands.
But
they're so amazing. Every time they release anything, I'm like all about it. I'm up in it. Love Real Big Fish. I think Less Than Jake's better.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think Less Than Jake, because Less Than Jake has more of the rock, pop-punky side to
them.
It's funny because Less Than Jake has been touring with a lot of pop-punk bands lately.
Yeah. Well, they have that smooth transition. They can start out a song like ska as fuck, and then right when it hits the chorus, it goes straight classic pop punk. Can I tell you why I sleep on this band?
You can, but I'm going to be disappointed with the
honestly. Answer. Honestly, I think I had just slept on the whole ska genre and dismissed it, and I'm like, just a bunch of horns, you know. And then like when you showed me Kill Lincoln, I think I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But definitely seeing Real Big Fish definitely changed my perception on the whole ska genre and like how much fun it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Such a great genre.
So like I haven't, like I slept on the ska genre and like hadn't really opened up to Less Than Jake yet. I always dismissed it as like, oh, that's a ska band. I don't think I would like it. But then like I always knew that they were a great band and like put out killer music. I just didn't know like what songs they were putting out that I actually knew.
Yeah.
So, like, if I hear them in the background, I had no clue who it was until I started, like, actually, like, actively listening to, like, Chris DeMakes and then hearing his voice. I think I need to spend more time with them. But another thing you asked on here was, do you regret sleeping on this band? And absolutely I do. I feel like I should give them more credit because they're definitely masters of their craft. They're like
100.
They're honestly where Newfound Glory is to pop punk. Uh-oh. I think less than Jake is to ska punk music. Mm-hmm. They're both pillar. I mean, there's a reason why they're touring together. You know, that's where Hot Mulligan's opening up for them.
I know, insane, weird combo in my mind, but I'm okay.
It's
with
great.
It. I honestly, that show is like I'm desperate to see it.
I wish that I could fucking see it, but it's Riot Fest weekend.
But they're at Riot Fest.
I know, but I'm not going to be there that day.
Oh.
That's why I'm
you're
like...
You're going the wrong day.
Exactly.
You want to go a day early with me and then go the second day too?
If you can get us tickets. I already paid for one day pass.
And, I had to buy yours and mine?
Yep, because that was expensive.
Fuck that shit. Okay, is it my turn, Roper? Oh, wait. No, I have to give you song. My... I'm actually really excited to hear song. What song it is.
Motown never sounded so good. Yeah, I can't get enough. I'm not satisfied. Wasted my time with this daily grind. In single file lines, is this real life? I keep telling myself sometimes what matters is on the inside. I think that's a fucking bop. Like, I heard that, and I was like, I get this band.
Yeah, that whole record, amazing.
Yeah.
That song, surprisingly, like, I wouldn't have expected you to pick it, but now that you said it, it gives me, like... That song gives me country vibes. I don't know what it is.
I can see that, dude.
Yeah.
It starts off really ska.
Yeah.
And then, like I was saying, once they hit that chorus, dude, then it's like punk. And I'm like, okay, I can get down with this. I think they're a great band, and I'm going to spend way more time with them. I actually put them on my ska playlist. That's not on our actual Spotify, but it could be one day.
Maybe
know?
One day. We'll add some ska to the
maybe,
playlist.
Maybe we'll do like a ska episode. You can all
a ska episode.
A ska episode.
A ska episode.
It'll be like it'll be called episode 7000. Hunter teaches Roper about ska.
Oh God, I don't even know that much. I just know I love horns.
I should ask my cousin. He's like 14 years old, and he's always like. Telling my uncle to give me like song recommendations,
okay,
and band recommendations. Like he asked me if I like the Popes of Chili Town.
I don't even know that band.
I
that sounds cool as shit though.
Yeah,
the Popes of Chili Town,
very very fucking ska, and like that kid's growing up right.
Okay, all right, are you ready for mine?
Now it's your turn.
Now it's my turn. So the band I chose, Mom Jeans. I've been sleeping on some Mom Jeans. I've heard a lot of people say I love Mom Jeans. So here, let me tell you a little bit about Mom Jeans.
Sometimes I like moms in jeans.
I love moms in jeans, that's for sure. Treading the same lines as modern baseball in the front bottoms.
I get that.
California-based Mom Jeans deliver an affecting heart-on-sleeve mix of emo-tinged indie rock formed in Berkeley, California. While studying at the university, the group wasted no time in putting together their debut release, a self-titled two-track single in 2014. Okay, so how did the band gain fame, Roper? You might be asking yourself.
They saw an episode of Bob's Burgers where the mom had a band in the basement, and they were she's talking about Mom Jeans.
Okay, well, here's what I said. I've seen many people start to bring this band up when their first full-length EP was released called Best Buds. When I said EP, I meant to say LP. was released called Best Buds in 2016. So that's when, like, to me, they started really actually gaining some notoriety. I will say this. So, like, I think the reason I slept on this band, it's hard to say. I always feel like it would be a band I'd like if I gave them a fair shot. But honestly, after listening through their most popular releases, I was a little left disappointed.
Yeah, I think I know, like, maybe two songs by them. And the two songs that I know I like, but everything mm-hmm. else is kind of... They're at a point where everything starts to kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of labeled on the like Midwestern emo front.
That 100%.
Where a lot of those bands have the twinkly guitars and stuff, and they sound very similar.
Sure.
And it's hard to distinguish yourself if you sound like everybody else, obviously. Or you do everything the same as everybody else. And I'm not saying that they do that exactly. I'm just saying in order to, like, stand out, maybe put a little flair on it, you know? So, but I'm not in a band, so.
They sound a lot like Just Friends.
Yeah.
To me, like, kinda. The vocalist especially. Just Friends has the horns, and, like, they kill it. They're amazing. They sound different as a band, but as, like, vocalists, they sound so similar. So this is what I said. Unfortunately, I don't regret sleeping on this band, Roper. I don't regret it. I think they have some great lyricism. But overall, it seems like a jam band for me. Like, there's just parts where, like, they're playing the guitars and the drums just, like, take this, like, left exit or something. I'm like, what are you doing?
That just might be the recording, too.
No, dude. It's, like, the way he plays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I felt that, like, multiple times.
Really, like, a really good drummer, you know?
I did say the clean guitar sound they have really wasn't what I was looking for. Like, with what you were saying with the twinkly guitars,
mm-hmm.
it was kind of like they didn't have that twinkle as much as I wanted them to with the emo western. It's like they kind of have this, like, in the middle between it all. But I really feel like this band would be perfect hit for some other people. Like, I really think that a lot of people could get into this band. I understand why they have the popularity they have.
Yeah.
But, like, just not for me, you know. But there was a song I really liked, and I wanted to recommend it. And that song was Scott Pilgrim versus My GPA. You know that one?
Yeah.
I love it. It's like, it's a perfect acoustic song. I think that's where they shine the most.
Back when we first started this, like, we have documents of, like, what we want to talk about on the episode. And I had put Midwestern emo on there because I was really interested in, like, the, like, beginnings of that genre.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, like, on, like, all the Midwestern emo playlists.
Sure.
So, like, I like it. I like them. But I feel like to stand out, then all these bands need to, like, kind of do something different.
Yeah, I feel bad because I really wanted to like this band a lot more than I did. Like, they're a fine band. Hate them.
I mean, they're still early in their career, too. So.
Sure, maybe they'll come up with a fucking hit. I'm definitely willing to, like, expand my horizons and listen to more of their newer releases. But from what I've heard so far, it's just not for me, you know? I really want, like my buddy Doug loves this band.
Yeah, and it sounds like a Doug band.
It is a Doug band. And I just wasn't for me. And which is surprising because Doug and I usually, like, I think when they said it, they sounded like the Front Bottoms of Modern Baseball, I disagree entirely.
Really?
I don't think they sound anything like them. Not anything. I think they're in the same genre. But I think that Modern Baseball...
Modern Baseball is so unique. Anyways.
Modern Baseball is very unique, and the Front Bottoms are as well. Like, when people are like, oh, my favorite bands are Modern Baseball and the Front Bottoms, I'm like, okay, that makes complete
now
sense.
Now I can gauge your personality.
Correct.
You're going to judge me by what kind of beer I'm going to drink.
Or drinking at all.
Yeah.
Even though, like, both of those bands drink heavily. but surprisingly, I know a lot of people that don't drink that listen to those bands.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's my thoughts on Mom Jeans. I think that they're a fantastic band for other people, just not for me.
Not for Hunter.
Not for Hunter.
NFH.
Now, Roper, I need to hear about your next band.
Oh, okay. So, my next band is Prince Daddy and the Hyena.
Dude, those guys, they're something.
They are. All right, here's a little backstory about them.
Please provide me a backstory.
After a cataclysmic event in Way East, Kentucky, Prince Daddy and the Hyena had formed an uncanny union to form Rad Tunes for You.
Beautiful.
Yeah. This event was at a Roswell Kid concert, which most of their early music was inspired by.
I can see that. Now, yeah. I never knew that, but yeah.
I never listened to Roswell Kid until this morning. So.
Oh, really? They're very more of a cleaner vocalist, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But musically, I can see it.
Yeah.
How did they gain fame? You ask me, Hunter? I think they're still like currently on the up and up, and I think they're only going to get bigger from here.
Yeah.
Honestly, but 2019 they were added to Taco Bell's Feed the Beat roster, so it must be like a compilation like playlist or CD.
I didn't know that.
And they recorded a cover of the Nacho Fries song. We're definitely going to have to listen to that.
Yeah, for sure.
That might be it. I mean, that might be like their biggest exposure yet, but I think it was just due to extensive touring all over the country, like with bands like Oso, they're fucking good too.
That would be a good mix. Yeah. Oso is another band I sleep on, but they're not on my list.
Yeah, they have Oso, not to get off on a side tangent, but I am. They have one of the best Christmas songs ever.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's
called Bad Luck has a really good Christmas cover.
Really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But Oso's is called like, I think it's called like Sleigh Ride or something.
Oh, okay.
And that every December now, I'm going to just cue that up. And Christmas at 22 by the Wonder Years.
There you go. You're past your date, though.
Oh, yeah. We both are.
I know. It's sad. I did film a video of me listening to that song when I was 22.
Oh. Mm-hmm. This year for your birthday, are we going to put Jesus Christ? I'm 26.
Dude, I got to do something, right?
Why do I think I slept on this band?
Why do you?
I honestly hadn't heard them until you showed me them.
Oh, really? They have one song I really love.
Yeah, and that was the song that you showed me.
Yeah.
And so, like, really, at first listen, I was put off by the dude's voice.
Everybody! All right, I'm so sorry. That was so excessive. But, like, let me talk about this. So, first time I listened, Doug showed me this. Fucking Doug.
I think Doug actually showed me them.
Oh, really? Yeah. Were we in the car at the same time?
No, we were at Brandon's house.
Then. Oh, okay. Yeah, so Doug shows me this song, right? We're in the car. He's like, listen to this. Ignore the vocals at first and let yourself, like, take it in as time goes on. I'm like, okay, cool. So I listened to it. I'm like, wow, the vocals are trash. They're so bad. And then I was like, wait a minute. The vocals are what make it so great.
Exactly.
Dude, holy shit. Dude, the vocalist is like great and bad all at the same time. And it just makes this like folk, DIY, pop punk vibe. And
dude, I think that's why like I've been coming back to them lately, just because like their whole DIY attitude I respect so much.
Same.
Vocalist doesn't like that band has this weird like fusion of music where it's like, this is what we are. And like, I can
believe it.
I think that's how they stand out so much, dude.
Yeah.
I've never heard a band like them. And so like the next question is, do I regret sleeping on them? And absolutely I do. Sure. I feel like this is a band that I'm going to like forever. I just need more time with them.
Yeah.
And I've slowly been diving into their discography. And so, like, a song that I'll recommend, it's on our playlist, actually.
Oh.
It's called Clever Girl. It's like kind of like they're more so like, I would say it's like a gateway song into that band.
Okay.
When I had heard it, I'm like, okay, this is like kind of an easy listen to transition into the heavier, more so like, cause it's more so like a like slower bass song. You know what I mean? It, the way that I can describe it, it's kind of like a, it sounds almost like Bad Luck.
Yeah. I can definitely see that combination there.
And so, but it's really fucking good. I enjoy the song, and I'm definitely gonna listen to this band way more.
Band's fantastic.
OP Daddy.
Yeah, OP Daddy. Fantastic. I love the name too.
I know, it's great.
The Daddy and the Hyena. Such a unique name.
And I think one thing that like made me like pay more attention to them as well is I found their manager on TikTok. He just popped up in my like algorithm, and he was like saying like he's like kind of talking his relationship to the band that I always like a good backstory. So that makes it more relatable to the band in general. So, definitely check out Clever Girl and check out more Prince Daddy. I really dig these guys.
Yeah.
And
my favorite's a Lost My Life. Or yeah. Is that what it's called? Fantastic song. It's my turn, Roper.
It's your turn.
I got a fancy band for you. I've actually seen them live even.
And you slept on them?
I slept on them. They're called Have Mercy.
Oh, I've seen them live too.
Interesting.
In Chicago.
I saw them live in a different state. Missouri, maybe?
It might have been the same tour, just different city.
Could be.
Because who they open up for?
You mean who opened up for them?
Oh, they headlined that one?
Yeah, they headlined.
Okay, I wasn't at that one.
I actually seen them twice. I saw them at the Wonder Years.
I know, that's who I saw them with.
But you were in, that was in Iowa.
Oh, that was?
Yeah.
Was that Oso Oso the opener?
I think so.
Yeah, because I have the poster on my wall. I stole that.
Okay, so Roper, you're probably like wondering what's going on with Have Mercy.
Why are you sleeping on Have Mercy?
Well, I'll tell you the band bio.
Oh, okay.
Have Mercy are a 4-piece indie rock band. Kind of disagree with that.
I disagree with that, but
from Baltimore, Maryland, can't disagree with that. Influenced by a variety of post-hardcore and emo acts. All right, so we always ask this question, not always, but this episode we do.
This episode.
How did the band gain fame? Well, mixing warm acoustic tones and strong vocals and heavy emo elements. That's what I was going to say earlier. This band's emo as shit.
Oh, so emo.
Mm-hmm.
So
the band launched several DIY tours, quickly developing a national presence, signing with the Boston indie Top Shelf Records. They released their debut album, The Earth Pushed Back, in May of 2013. The album was well received by critics and fans alike, and in 2014, Have Mercy signed with vaunted indie Hopeless Records, which released their second LP, Place of Our Own, later that year.
Wow.
That's when I think they really hit their stride, Roper.
Nice.
I will say that. I think that record
is
kind of like where it all began for them. Not all began, but like, you know.
I have a quick question for you.
Please hit me.
What was the first Have Mercy song that you heard?
I don't even remember. Have Mercy was always that band I listened to, like, second-handed.
Yeah, because like, they were always, like, on every playlist that I would listen to.
Oh, okay.
And, like, before Spotify did their curated ones, so, like, back in the Pandora days for me.
Big days.
But I heard Spacecrafts by them, and that's their most, like uppity song in my mind.
Oh, okay.
And then I heard the rest of their discography, and I'm like, I can fuck with these guys.
It's sad, dude.
It's super sad, but I was a sad boy at the time, so that happens.
So, I think the reason why I slept on this band, well, let me say this. I love sad music so much. So it's so hard to understand why I chose to sleep
on this
band.
We call him SBH over there. Sad Boy Hunter.
That's correct. SBH. Actually, I kind of love that. I'm going to use it.
It's great.
It could be that the band is very mellow and I enjoy upbeat, angry, sad songs mainly. That this band kind of lacked a lot of. It's very like mellow, sad songy stuff. But here's what I have to say. I do regret sleeping on this band. And I feel like I should have given this band more listens when I needed a good cry.
Oh.
Oh, dude. This band is like perfect for crying.
This is perfect crying music.
Perfect crying music. Perfect.
God,
Perkins.
Perkins.
Perkins pie.
I can go for some Perkins pie.
Do you
want
to
do some
Perkins pie and cry?
Oh, dude.
Is that something?
That's better than Netflix and chill, dude.
Oh, yeah. Hey, baby, you want to go do some Perkins pie and cry? That's actually kind of fucking dope. I'm going to use that somewhere, too. I could see this band being great for bad breakups.
Oh, absolutely.
I wish that I would have, like, when I was going through my breakup, like the beginning stages, I wish I would have fucking like went straight for hair.
I think the song that fucking gets me every time is Let's Talk About Your Hair.
Yeah. And that's their big one. I'm kind of surprised that's their big one.
I remember seeing that live, and I was like, doesn't get it any better than this.
As you're like crying.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm not with anybody right now, but I would love to talk about their hair right now.
Oh, dude. Isn't that a thing? Like when you're like alone at like a bar or something and like you see a girl and you're like, do you ever project your feelings onto people?
Yeah, 100% of the time.
All right. So let me talk about
this. Have you met Drunk Roper yet?
I definitely have, but every time, that's not true. But the one time I like really was like blown away was when you got into a fight with somebody. I was like, oh my God.
And I feel super bad about that because he's like one of my best friends.
Yeah. But like, dude, it was intense because I thought you were joking and then I realized that was not the case.
I was in a weird spot.
Yeah.
At that point. That was a couple months ago. And I was just like, I was pissed about my job. Pissed about the relationship stuff that I was going through at the time. And like, my poor friend, he's just so energetic, and like, he has this demeanor about him where he's like super spazzy. I love the dude to death, but he's super spazzy.
He is a good dude.
He's so nice. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my buddy, Chris. But I, like, he was going through some shit and he was having a good time and it just got escalated, and I feel bad for taking it all out on him, but I was just not a happy rope dog at the point.
That's fair, dude. We all have our moments.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But anyway, getting back to it. I really have to say that I love the guitar tones.
Oh yeah.
And Have Mercy. They're like fantastic. And the vocalist has such a smooth and warm voice that I really see the draws, like, why so many people enjoy Have Mercy.
Yeah.
So the song I'm going to recommend, I think it's not their most popular, but it's definitely probably second or third. And that would be 2 Years. Life in our head, friends. And I miss all of them. I miss all of them. Life in our head, friends. And I miss all of them. I miss all of them.
I love that song.
Dude, I think that's, I don't know why, like, the hair song. I really want to talk about your hair.
Let's talk about your hair.
I'm sorry. That song is, like, okay. I don't know why that's their number one.
That's my favorite song by them.
Really?
I just think it's because, like, I could relate really hard with that song just because, like, it's basically about starting... I don't know if it's necessarily starting a relationship or you're just stagnant in a relationship. And, the lyrics I could think of off the top of my head is like, let's talk about your hair and how it grows and how we know we're not getting anywhere. And I feel like so many relationships nowadays, or like if you're like dating somebody, it's all superficial right away.
Oh man. And so do we need to get in this talk right now?
I'm getting there.
Oh shit.
But I'm just saying, like, as somebody who's like awkward, like I am, and it may not seem this way, like on microphone, but
I wouldn't say that like around me either. I think you're...
Well, I'm comfortable with you.
Yeah, true.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that's why I struggle so hard with trying to meet new people and new women and stuff, is because like, I want to tell you how I feel right away.
Why can't it be more like that?
Exactly.
Isn't that like such a thing?
I think honestly, everybody's so afraid of rejection that they're the first people to reject.
That's why social media, not social media, dating apps.
And social media too.
True. Like we put on this presence of ourselves, and as soon as someone tries to indulge in that, like, it is almost a crime in society.
It's like they put a fucking steel door right in front of you and you can't open that shit.
Have Mercy is a great band to like kind of counteract that in a way.
Exactly. And I think that's why I relate to Let's Talk About Your Hair so much. Like,
yeah, I think
I've been in that position where I've been trying so hard. And pushing, yeah, actually pushing. I wouldn't say, like, that's a bad term for that. But just trying to salvage something because I feel one way and the other person may have different feelings, but they're not expressing that, you know?
Sure. It's like, I think, all right, not that this has anything to do with Have Mercy. It kind of does, actually. It's like, the great thing about the vocalist is that he puts his heart and soul in the music.
Absolutely.
Why can't we be more like that as people?
I just think everybody's just so scared.
Yeah. Everyone is like afraid of being hurt.
Of rejection.
And I think what it comes down to is if you're not willing to talk about your emotions and your feelings, like off the bat, like, should you say you love someone the first time you talk to them?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. I'm joking. But like, no, for sure. Like, this is something that's kind of an issue in our today's society, is we are consistently so afraid of putting ourselves out there because it is often rejected, which sucks, and it hurts. And social media makes it so much harder because, like, our pool of people that we can interact with,
I mean,
is so huge.
It's huge, and you could also get into a habit of like seeing that person who rejected you on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's 100%. The worst. That's the worst thing to look at, is like you're struggling and it doesn't seem like they are, but they might be, you know, I don't know.
I think everyone has their struggles. Everyone has their like advantages in their life. And what it comes down to is like, no matter what, we're all people. We all make mistakes.
Hell yeah.
And Have Mercy is a band that really made me feel that.
Absolutely.
Really made me feel like I'm not perfect, but this is how I feel.
This is, yeah. And I feel like everybody should be more in tune with how they actually feel and be upfront, because you're going to feel better that way as opposed to hiding what you actually feel.
So if you learn anything from Have Mercy, it's this. Share how you feel. Fucking put it out there.
Feel how you feel.
I feel like I'm like lecturing somebody, but I'm not trying
to. You're just lecturing me over here.
Yeah, I'm looking at Roper. I'm like, Roper, why are you not sharing your feelings right now? Why are you not sharing how I'm your best friend right now?
You're my best friend.
Oh, all right. I have it on fucking audio. Oh, shit.
You're my sister.
Sister.
Oh.
I went a different route, but that's okay.
You did. I went Joe Dirt and you went straight Disney.
I went Disney, baby. That's where I grew up with. All right, Roper, my man, my dude, my love, my one and only. Please tell me about your next band.
My next band is Stand Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
So they're a newer band, obviously.
They're gonna do well.
They're gonna fucking blow up, dude.
Hell yeah, 100%.
Stand Atlantic are an Australian pop punk band from Sydney, Australia.
Those Aussies, dude.
I think if they weren't so far away, I would love so many Aussie women.
Here's my opinion. Chicago, number one up and coming in bands.
Hands
Australia,
down.
I know that's a big difference in like land.
That's
mass.
A whole continent, dude.
That is compared
That's a whole
to,
continent compared to Chicago.
Compared to Chicago, but like Australians, like every Australian band I've heard in the pop punk scene, they know what is going
on. I think they have their own little like sub
genres?
Not sub genre, okay. But sub like scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you could be like, oh, I love K-pop, but you can't be like, oh, I love a pop punk.
Yeah. See, with Australia, you have bands like Stand Atlantic, Between You and Me, mm-hmm. Yours Truly. Mm-hmm. I know there's multiple other ones. Like,
yeah.
That scene is prominent. And I don't know if it's because they're rejected from Britain, but...
Are they rejected from Britain? What is that story?
Britain, originally, I'm not going to have 100% of the facts.
Oh, I know zero, so
but,
teach me
so
something.
The United Kingdom had Australia as, like, a province, or, okay. like, they were in charge of Australia. So they sent a bunch of their fucking, like, inmates and all the rejected people to Australia. That's why they have, like, the Union Jack-style flag. And so... Like, I think it was, like, a bunch of criminals that they sent over to this random-ass island.
That sounds cool.
Random-ass continent. I know, right?
That sounds like a perfect breeding ground for pop-punk.
I know that I'm not doing the actual history justice, but I'm just saying what I know off the top of my brain.
Yeah. Get back into the band. Let's not. Everyone wants to hear about this band.
We're not hardcore history over here, okay?
I absolutely know nothing.
We do not have 4 hours of history content.
Something about tea bags and... That's it with the British.
You're thinking of the United States, my friend.
Well, no, the beginning of the United States. They're like, fuck your tea tax, asshole.
Yeah, let's dump it into the fucking harbor.
Yeah, but here we are with paying taxes.
The harbor.
I look at my paycheck every week and I see like what I'm supposed to be getting, and then taxes are like, actually.
Yeah, it's really sad looking at my paycheck because I bust my ass every week, and then I'm like, I'm going to take home this. And then, like, I see what I'm actually taking home. I'm like,
I've worked physical labor, and I have worked desk job. And I will tell you this, Roper, in your defense, physical labor is worse.
Oh, way
mental
worse.
Health wise, 100%.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised that I don't have gray hair yet.
Do you have red hair or brown hair?
I have.
In your opinion?
In my opinion, I think it's brown.
Okay.
But I've got a little blonde highlights because I've been outside so much this summer.
Oh, you've been tanning a little bit.
Yeah, with you at the pool.
Dude, hell yeah, baby. This is the most tan I've been all year. What's up, ladies?
So I'm going to tell you how this band gained their notoriety. Stand Atlantic gained prominence in their Australian music scene with the release of their demo EPs, Catalyst, which came out in 2013, and A Place Apart in 2015. The band signed with Rude Records in 2017 and released their single Coffee at Midnight. And I feel like with that single, they absolutely just took off.
You think that was their takeoff?
I mean, with that single, they put it on a different EP after that.
Okay.
I think. Which landed them positive reviews. So
sure.
That's where they started like gaining And then they released the EP Sidewinder in September of 2017 and their debut album Skinny Dipping. Actually, this is where I think Skinny Dipping and their cover of Modern Baseball's
Your Graduation
really just fucking launched them.
I like that, but like
I love that.
I don't think it's near as good as the original.
No, the the original is so different.
Yeah.
But this was like, this is what you were saying, like how you make a successful cover is you make it different, and it's completely
they really
different.
They honestly, like, give them props. They really did. Here's the thing.
I love both of them.
Yeah, when you're a band, like, you have a style.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you cover a band in the same style of you, why?
Exactly.
That's kind of my thing. Not to, like, talk shit or anything, but I...
There's a reason why you have a cover of Don't Trust Me.
Yeah, because it's a very technicky, techno-y song, and I'm like, how can we make this different?
And you're thinking outside the box.
Yeah, like, I that's my thing. Like, I never... If I ever do a cover of a pop-punk song, it's because I was paid to do it.
Exactly.
I'm honestly, I think the next one's going to be Country Roper.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do, baby. What's up?
I slept on this band because I originally heard them from Songs That Saved My Life, that compilation album. They have probably the most standout performance on that album with their cover of Your Graduation, like we had just
It's true.
Said.
That is the best song I off think that one. Dan Campbell's on that record, and I still think this song's
I'm not
better.
A huge, like, Broom
People.
People
or,
cover. Yeah. Like, I'm not that big into that song.
Listen, Broom People. I think it's Broom People.
Broom People, yeah.
Broom People, like, they have... No, that's the song name.
Yeah,
the Mountain Goats is the band.
And I can tell you one thing about that band.
I've listened to them a little bit because I wanted to, like, kind of gauge Dan Campbell's, like...
Mind,
yeah. And it's something. Great lyricism.
There.
Great storytelling. And I think that they are good for that. And that's it. I'm sorry. I feel bad. I want to like them.
But after I had heard that cover, I had, like, I looked them up and I listened to Coffee at Midnight, and it's a good song. But I feel like one of my friends, like, overhyped them for me. So, like, I'm one of those people, if you overhype something, then I'm, like, I automatically just, like, shut off. And I'm, like, I don't think I'm going to.
I've done that a million times with Roper. It's true.
It's just, like, I'll find them when I find them. I just hate when things are pushed in my face. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, I do not like this.
It's nice when we find a band or, like, an album at the same time, because then we can, like, really get down to it.
Yeah,
together.
Basically, my music taste works. Like, I have to find it on my own, and I have to find my little qualities that I like about it.
Absolutely. And I'm the same way. I think most people are.
Yeah.
Like, they take a recommendation with a grain of salt.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they don't want to be force-fed something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to find it naturally because that gives you more natural endorphins listening to it.
Oh, interesting.
That's the way that I feel about it. It's like, if I hear a good song, I can feel it in my whole body.
I like finding music from, like, people I want to, like, connect with.
Yeah, so that way you have, like, common ground with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like they were just, like, kind of overhyped and I just needed to come back to them. And then by the time I was ready to come back to them, they put out their new album. And I feel like... I feel like they're super talented, but something about them just isn't, like, clicking for me or hitting. And I don't know if it's because they were over, like, hyped up to me where I was expecting something to blow me away. But I also feel like there's other bands that are coming out of that scene in Australia that I like more. So when something is, like, pushed down my throat, I just kind of dismiss it. But
100%.
I feel like I don't really regret sleeping on them right now just because they're so early on in their career. So I feel like they're going to put out an absolute banger and I'm going to be like, hey, isn't this band great?
Yeah, you're going to be like, I was here from the beginning.
I was on the train the whole fucking time,
yeah,
dude.
You guys are stupid.
Yeah.
Where were you at?
But yeah. I think they're very talented and they're going to be very successful.
With female vocalists, this is, I'm, all right, I swear
Finn
on my life.
Finn McKenty is going to get pissed at you.
Oh, that's fine. With female vocalists, I am, like, so bad about giving them a fair shot, and I want to be better about it. I want to, like, look at these, and they're so talented.
Absolutely.
I can never argue it. But there's, like, a point where, like, I need some grit that, like, maybe female vocalists aren't.
I feel like she has plenty of grit, though.
She's at the point where, like, listen, I respect the band.
Yeah.
100%. I think they are a great band. I do think it's missing something.
I agree
right
with
now.
That. Yeah.
And I think that they're going to find it.
They will.
But Yeah.
And 100%. I think they're also being overshadowed by like another female fronted band, as much as people hate this term. Paramore. Well, they're constantly going to be compared to Paramore. But I feel like Meet Me at the Altar is like,
they're a great band.
The band.
They're the band that's going to show. Yeah. They're kind of like the Hot Mulligan of a female fronted band.
They're
right?
just insane.
Am I crazy by saying that?
No, I agree with you with that. Their sound is like a classic easy core sound, but it's just so new and unique too, where you're like, I was not expecting this. So, one song recommendation from Stand Atlantic is Lavender Bones. Fuck, dude. Mm-hmm. Catchy as fuck. So I get down with that one. But it's your turn now.
So a band I sleep on is Taking Back Sunday. So, all right, listen. So Taking Back Sunday is an American rock band from Long Island, New York. The band was formed by guitarist Eddie Reyes in 1999. So this band's old.
They are 22 years old now.
That's fucking nuts. I mean, like, it makes sense when I think about it. But, like, honestly, I just kind of thought they were, like, from, like, the early 2010s.
Well, they were, like, super popular in the early 2000s when they put out their first two records.
Sure.
And then, yeah.
Well, I'll get into that.
I know, you're getting there.
I think the band really started to make a big name for themselves when their 2006 hit album, Louder Now, came out. I remember Make Damn Sure being a huge song in the scene, yes. And I still can see why that is. Like, it's such a good song.
That was their first, like, major label release, too. They're on Warner Brothers.
Which is nuts. A pop punk band being on Warner Brothers. Well, to me, in my mind, at least, it is.
If you think about it, the scene at that time, that's...
It's more of an... Or would you say pop punk or emo?
The scene then?
No, for the band, Taking Back Sunday.
This record is more so emo.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, the earlier stuff is definitely, like... It's not Newfound Glory, Bowling for Soup, pop punk, but it's definitely pop punk.
Yeah, that's a different thing for sure.
It blends emo and pop punk very well. So continue on.
All right, well, I shall. Listen, I sleep on the band. I do, and I hate that because I think Taking Back Sunday is a very special band.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say this. I always knew I liked the band, but I had a hard time relating with them maybe, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think it was one of the many bands I started with but dropped quickly afterwards. So, like, when you started the pop punk scene, you were handed these, like, big-name bands.
This was one of the bands that I was handed, and I fell in love with them. But it wasn't for their Louder Now album. It was for their first album.
Oh, okay. That was a big one.
That album was a fucking classic.
I feel like people came back to that album.
They did.
I think that's kind of what it was. I will say this. The vocalist wasn't my cup of tea back then.
Yeah.
And I kind of still have mixed feelings now.
Okay, I can see that.
It has, like, some of his vocals are fantastic, and others I'm like, what?
They're one of the bands that could easily, like, blend the two-singer, the two-vocalist thing.
Do they have two vocalists?
Yeah, I think that's why they appealed to me so much, is because you have Adam singing, like, the main vocals.
Okay.
And then first record, you have John Nolan, who's phenomenal.
Sure.
And then second and third record, you have Fred, who's really fucking good too. So, like,
Fred is not a vocalist name. I'm sorry.
I know. He's him and John Nolan both give off that raspy, like, backing vocals, which blends out the band perfectly. But I'll stop interrupting you.
No. I need this because I don't know much about the band.
Yeah.
I will say this. So, like, my thoughts on the band. I kind of regret sleeping on them. But I think only because I knew so many pop punkers really dig this band.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't relate on their level. Like, when you talk to new people and they're like, oh, like, one of the bands I hear often is like, oh, Taking Back Sunday is one of my favorite bands. And I just, like, oh, fuck, I'm I so would, like, I that's would, just not my fave. Yeah. It's not my thing, you know? Like, I like sad boy pop punk, and I think this kind of fits in with that.
I think these guys were, like, one of the founding fathers for that.
It's so sad that I didn't get into them.
Yeah.
I do see why this band is a staple, though.
Yeah.
And I really believe that they deserve the recognition they deserve.
Oh, absolutely.
But for some reason, they don't hit as hard as I'd like.
I go in waves with them.
Yeah.
I go where I'm like, this is the best band ever. And then I come back to them, I'm like, ah, they're all right.
I think
I just listen to them. When I first started diving into their discography, I listened to them all the time.
Oh, okay.
And then I found Brand New. I'm like, okay, these guys are great. And then I come back, Taking Back Sunday. I'm like, oh, no, these guys are great. And then I listened to them so much, both bands, where I was like, all right, I'm kind of burnt out. So.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm at. But here's the song I'm going to say. I feel like this is obvious, but I'm going to say Make Damn Sure. I just want to break you down so badly. When I jump over everything you say, I just want to break you down.
Good one. Can I give a recommend?
Yeah, please.
For people who aren't familiar, I would say "Decade Under the Influence" is probably my favorite song by them, or "Photograph" is the proof.
Okay,
and those are both off their second record. Sure. I like their second record more than their first one, so I'm probably gonna get shot.
I listened to the first one. They have some solid songs on there. Still think the second's better.
I think so too.
I do.
Alrighty, you ready for mine?
I've been more ready than I've ever been before.
So this one's going to piss you off.
Here we go.
What band do I sleep on?
What is it?
4 Year Strong.
You bastard.
So 4 Year Strong is an aggressive but deeply melodic fusion of hardcore, emo pop, and pop punk from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester.
Oh. Well, there's a different town in that area that's called Worcester.
Oh, yeah. Maybe so. I'm crazy. I thought it was Worcester.
It might be Worcester. We're not from there. So
we're not from there. We're from Iowa. We know Des Moines.
Our Empty Space Boys could tell us.
That's true. Yeah, they 100% could.
Yeah, so. Combo 4 Year Strong spent in the middle part of the 2000s building a sturdy fan base through hard touring and a series of DIY releases leading up to their 2007s Rise or Die Trying.
Listen.
Phenomenal record.
Listen here. Phenomenal record. 100%. Yes. I'm so upset that you sleep on this band. We've talked, but like, in your defense, you've said multiple times that you sleep on this band whenever I bring them up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to my number one eventually, and then the roles will be reversed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone will begin hating me, and that's okay. I'm fine with that.
That's all right. We need a few hateful comments to.
I know. We finally need to say, wow, you sleep on Mom Jeans? I'd be like, okay.
Well. Whoa.
But my number one. All right, continue. I'm so sorry.
How did they gain fame?
Please tell me.
I really think they found success with their absolute banger of an album, Rise or Die Trying. But I think it was through like extensive touring, DIY tours, putting their names out there, and maybe MySpace, because that was around the MySpace time.
That was
time
a big
too.
MySpace time.
They're definitely a live act that you do not want to miss.
Listen, I've seen 4 Year Strong a few times.
Seen them multiple times.
And holy fuck. I swear, I've said this before on a previous podcast, but like as soon as they step stage, or as soon as they step foot on stage, holy fuck.
The whole demeanor of the place changes.
It does. And like, it's not like something that like one or two people recognize.
Yeah.
Everyone is quiet.
Yeah.
And it is intense. And you're, like, we're kind of waiting for that first note from the guitar player.
You're in for a fucking ride once they step on stage.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Wasting Time is a fantastic song for them to start
like
with.
Their perfect opener.
Yeah, it is.
So I slept on these guys. Like I don't necessarily know if I actually like sleep on them. I just more so forget how good they are.
Sure.
So that's kind of where my stance is on it. Then I'll be on like a short kick of listening to them, and I'm like, oh hey, 4 Year Strong is still over there, and I'll listen to them for a couple weeks, and then I'll drop off, and then each time I come back to them, I'm like, god damn, they're so fucking good.
Fucking, they're one of the best bands when it comes to writing guitar riffs.
Yes.
And I could like go on forever with 4 Year Strong. They're one of the bands that I found. I honestly can't even recall why or how I found them.
My friend in high school, Dakota, he showed me them.
Dakota.
Yeah.
Hey there, Dakota.
Wait, no. I put two songs.
Yeah, you did. Together. It's okay. I
was thinking of Rocket to the Moon, but I sang Plain White Tees.
Rocket to the Moon?
Yeah.
That's a fucking Phil Collins song.
No,
no wait.
You're thinking of Rocket Man by Elton John. Jesus Christ.
I'm so sorry.
Do I regret sleeping on this band? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to them, I'm like, why do I not like have all of their albums? Why do I like, I just bought my first 4 Year Strong merch this year.
Which one was it?
I bought the Brain Pain record and I bought a t-shirt.
Is it the same one I have?
No, mine's green and it's got like a picture. It says 4 Year Strong on the front and then it says Brain Pain on the back.
Fantastic.
Song recommendation, Paul Revere's Midnight Runner. Take one step, have you got it in you? You'll have to take it if you want to. You'll have to face the consequences that can bring you. Try to play the game, cause you can get knocked back underground. Take one step, have you got it in you? You'll have to fake it like you always. You'll have to face the consequences that can bring you. Try to play the game, cause you can get knocked back underground.
Fantastic song.
Dude, I came back to this song when I was like writing these notes. I'm like, this song fucking rips.
Honestly though, that whole record
is straight underrated.
Back to front to back.
Back to front.
I like to listen to it backwards.
Yeah.
Side to side,
dude. Yeah. So Paul Revere's Midnight Ride, huh? I like that song. It's heavy as fuck. And early 4 years strong when, before they're starting to nail their formula down, is just insane.
Really? You think before they nailed
before,
their formula?
After Rise or Die Trying, before the self-titled.
Okay, so like, really, so how do you feel about Enemy of the World?
I like it, but I listen to Rise or Die Trying way more.
I listen to Enemy of the World way more.
Which I need to come back to Enemy of the World because I was
listening
to it.
And I feel the same way
yesterday.
About Rise or Die Trying. Yeah,
I was listening to it yesterday. I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Oh, man. I feel like Rise or Die Trying is more of a relaxed Dired.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Enemy of the World is more of a relaxed version of Dired.
Rise or Die Trying?
Rise or Die Trying.
I can get that.
Roper, are you ready for my next band?
Boy, am I.
Okay, listen. So I've been sleeping on this band. This one surprised me the most. They're called Pierce the Veil.
Oh.
Okay. That was like a concerning O.
It's just,
we'll get into them.
I like things about them.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily see the appeal.
Okay, for sure.
So
here's the thing. Pierce the Veil is an American rock band. Not true. I'm
PTV.
Sorry. They're an emo punk band.
They're like, I would say they were like borderline post-hardcore.
Okay. Sure.
Because they were
part
of that early 2010 scene.
I will say this. They're from San Diego, California.
Well,
we
San
can't
Diego.
Argue that.
Diego.
Formed in 2006, the band was founded by brothers Vic and Mike Fuentes. Is that
Fuentes.
Right? Fuentes. So after the disbandment of the group Before Today, which I actually haven't listened to. Have you?
I might have.
And it was also formerly called Early Times, which was formed out of the San Diego punk rock scene.
That's
so
cool.
Maybe they changed their genre a little bit. So I will say this. How did the band gain fame? Originally, their band really started picking up steam with their first two records, but charted at number 12 on the Billboard's top 200 and giving the band their first gold certified single.
That's insane.
For their song King for a Day.
That makes sense.
But like, that was a big song.
I feel like that's what blew them up, even though like I listened to them before that came out.
Okay. I see, like, this band's like, I've always known about them. I have had experiences with them. I've seen them live, not on purpose. But we'll get into that.
I found them because of Rock Band.
Interesting. Okay.
They had Carafinalia on there.
So, all right. Why do I sleep on this band? Roper, I hear you. I like look at you.
I'm just wondering.
And I think, yeah,
I'm wondering,
you're wondering
over here. I'm like, why does he sleep on this band?
All right. I'll tell you. Honestly, I think it's the fan base.
I 100% agree with
that.
There
it is. Right there. I was like, I really felt like you'd like connect with that.
I 100% agree with that.
So here's the deal. I remember being at the House Party Tour with A Day to Remember, Pierce the Veil, All Time Low, and The Wonder Years.
Yep.
I went for A Day to Remember and The Wonder Years.
Absolutely.
All Time Low really took the show.
Really?
100. Well, not like the whole show. A Day to Remember, like, they were better.
Yeah.
But
they stole the show for you in your mind. You weren't
exactly
expecting
like,
them to play that well.
I wasn't expecting them to be so great.
Yeah.
But they were.
Every time I go to an All Time Low concert, I always leave before they play.
Really?
Yeah, it's because they're openers.
You're a sack of shit. Anyway,
hey,
I love All Time Low.
I'll catch
them.
I'll catch them this time when they come to town.
Sure. It was never a phase, Mom. Anyway, so when Pierce the Veil like entered the stage, so they were like the second, or no, they were like, so it was the Wonder Years, All Time Low, and then Pierce the Veil. They stepped on stage. The mood shifted.
You heard a lot of screaming, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. The crowd vibe was completely different. And I kind of saw them as a girl band, but less fun.
I agree.
And in the beginning, I wasn't into screaming in songs at the time I was when I was first introduced. And that's kind of when I first heard of them. So there's a lot of negative reactions at first. It was like, oh, they're screaming in their songs, not interested. At this time in my life, a little bit different. I like screaming in songs if it's done well.
He's got a little bit of anger behind
those
eyes.
He's got a little bit of angsty angst.
He's got some anger behind those
eyes. Then you have, so like the fan base we've agreed on. But anyway, I was humbly surprised. So do I regret sleeping on this band? I honestly do.
Yeah.
The songs I listened to were so damn good. Vic is an amazing vocalist.
Hell of a guitar player.
And the production,
too.
Fucking fantastic.
Yes.
Catchy songs that really give you the boost of adrenaline I enjoy. So here's the deal. I'm going to say this on air so no one can like tell me I said otherwise.
You heard it here.
Pierce the Veil, number one band I've slept on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That good, huh?
I really enjoyed it. On my way to work today, I was like really into them.
What's your song recommend?
I'll tell you this. So this is an odd one. It's not what you think it will be. But I enjoyed it so much. And it's the song called Circles.
That song rips. I like their first album a lot.
I do too.
With Paraphernalia on there.
I was trying to be a little special with this one.
But Circles stands out so much.
Apparently, it's about the Paris shootings.
Paris shootings? Wow.
Paris shootings.
That's what I said.
I know, but I wanted,
you wanted to make sure like everybody's like, why would they write a song? I guess parachutes are circle. Circles.
Is Parachute Shootings a great band name?
I think I like your band name, Pity Party, way more.
Pity Party's great, but that wasn't mine. That was my buddy Rob's.
I like that name.
In all fairness. Roper, listen, we're getting off track. How about you go to your next one?
This is my final and my number one band that I sleep on. My number one band that I sleep on is Youth Fountain.
Listen, I have a lot to say about this band.
I do too.
I slept on them as well, listened to one of their records. Mm-hmm. They have this spacey vibe in their music.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't usually like that.
Really?
Youth Fountain? A little bit of a change of mind. A little change of process. A little different thinking.
Yeah.
And Roper, I'm really excited for you to get into this band. So how about you go ahead?
All right. What began as a solo project by guitarist vocalist Tyler Zannon in 2013 under the name Bedroom Talk eventually bloomed into a full-blown band by 2017 with the Vancouver-based Youth Fountain, then a duo, proudly announcing their presence with their debut single Grinding Teeth and a pair of pure noise releases that expertly towed the line between pop punk fervor and more reflective emo moments.
Interesting.
They got big, I would assume, through touring, social media, and streaming apps.
How big basically do you think this band's going to get from like Real Friends?
Bro.
Change of pace with their new vocalist.
Well,
is he no longer a part of the band? Is that the
idea? He hasn't been for a while.
Oh, excuse me.
So,
sorry.
I think he was on the first EP album, whatever it was, and then left shortly after that.
Was he not a part of anything till Reference?
He was with Youth Fountain and this band called Parting Ways, which is really good too.
Interesting.
He's
a great vocalist.
He's very good.
He deserves to be in a band that
where
has
he's
some
at the
recognition.
Forefront. Yeah. You can hear his vocals in the first Youth Fountain album too, which he does the backing vocals and stuff. But I think I slept on Youth Fountain right around the time that I found them through our boys. Empty Space Podcast.
Beautiful.
Shout out to our boys, Steve and Batchy.
What up, boys?
Love you, boys. I also discovered Captains around the same time, Calling All Captains.
Yeah, they honestly,
and
same.
And I think I just was so laser focused on Calling All Captains that I dismissed Youth Fountain, and I'm like, a lot of this sounds very similar. And I wasn't really giving it the time of day. Mm-hmm. And then maybe about a week ago, I'm like, I haven't really listened to Youth Fountain lately. and I put on their newest single, Peace Offering, and I listened to it with my headphones in. I was at work, and I'm like, boy, I feel this song.
Great place to discover new music is work.
Work. But, like, my headspace was, like, perfect for it. Like, I was feeling a little down on myself about certain things that were happening in my life. And there's this very specific part where, like, this Tyler gives everything in recordings, and I'm sure, like, live, he just, like, puts everything out
there. He's talented, dude.
He's so fucking good, dude. But, like, there's that third chorus in the song, Peace Offering, where he's like, pull the heartstrings, that part. But he, like, amps it up in the third part of that chorus.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, you can tell he's, like, ready to fucking bust out of his body.
He's ready to fucking go.
He's ready to go. And, like, I was just listening so intently to the lyrics and feeling exactly what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And I, like, started to tear up a bit.
Oh, okay. I mean, like, that band gives you that vibe.
Yeah.
I want to cry vibe.
I had to take a second and be like, it's just a song, Roper.
Calm down.
I mean, that's how I fall in love with bands. If I could feel it through my whole fucking body and I get some sort of emotional reaction, I know that I'm going to fucking love this band.
And that's how a band should be,
I'm
right?
I'm glad that I'm no longer going to sleep on this band. I think they are going to be one of the biggest bands in this scene,
mm-hmm.
or they should be.
Should be up
he
there.
He should be one of the biggest people in this scene right now. Everything that he puts out is so emotional and so relatable. My song recommendation is Peace Offering. Surprise! So good. I listen to it probably once a day, and I'm just like, I feel this. I love it. Definitely check that out if you guys haven't heard Youth Fountain. I am no longer going to sleep on this band.
Great choice.
Hell yeah.
I feel the same way. Hell yeah. Are you ready for my number one?
I am.
All right. So all the others were, like, not in line. Like, they were kind of, like, just random picks.
Yeah.
But this band definitely deserves the number one spot. That's Newfound Glory.
Man, that hurts my soul.
Good, because you hurt my soul twice. You get one. Newfound Glory is an American rock band from Coral Springs, Florida.
Hell yeah, they are.
Formed in 1997. Holy fuck.
Dude.
That's crazy.
You know how old
you don't realize how old these bands are until you, like, really dig in. Roper, you probably already know this, but, like, how did the band gain fame? I'll tell you. I believe when they released their self-titled record in 2000. Wow. In 2000, they began paving the way for pop punk to be a mainstream genre.
I agree.
100%. Afterwards, they consistently released banger albums that showed that they are here to stay, first of all, and made a big name for themselves.
They're still putting out good albums.
Sure, we'll get into that.
that was a weird laugh.
Yeah, it was like a... So why did I sleep on this band? I think the big reason is because they were already so big when I got into the scene.
Yeah.
My hipster brain was really into finding smaller bands, and I fell in love with the sad boy side of pop punk that, Roper, I want you to disagree or agree with me, that they weren't really entirely in.
I agree with that. So I came into the scene around 2010, 2011. That's when I really dove
far into... I was more like 2015.
Yeah.
2013,
it was
14, 15.
It was my senior year of high school, and, like, my buddy Sean, I owe it all my music taste to him, basically.
Okay.
And we just started falling in love with pop punk, and I just remember sitting in Jimmy John's.
Of the best
in,
pop
in
punk
Indianola.
Place.
Indianola.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That was where I kind of grew up.
And our friend Megan Cleveland was working there.
She worked at Jimmy John's?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she was working there, and we're just sitting there eating a sandwich, and Hit or Miss comes on by Newfound Glory, and I was like, I'm like, Sean, I know who this is, but I don't know who it is. He's like, it's fucking Newfound Glory, dude. And then later that same summer, we saw them at Warped Tour, and my whole opinion on music and everything had just completely went full dive into pop punk, and I'm like, this is the best band I've ever seen live.
Oh, interesting.
At the time.
Well, who is now?
It's really hard, man. I've seen them play so many times that, like, it's a mixture between... 4 Years Strong is definitely one of the best live bands I've ever seen. Real Big Fish is definitely mm-hmm. one of the best live bands I've seen.
If you don't say my favorite band, I'll be very disappointed.
The Wonder Years absolutely is.
Thank you.
Dance Gavin Dance. But Newfound Glory was the one that like broke down the doors. And I'm like, I want to be a part of this scene forever.
Now, is this your favorite genre of music?
I would say so.
Okay. I'd hope so, because you're on a pop punk podcast.
But I, like I said, I listen to just about everything, so.
Sure. I hate that about you, so I love it at the same time.
I'm optimistic.
Most people are like that. I'm not. I'm like, this is my genre.
I used to be that way.
Okay.
I used to be like, no, if it's not pop punk, then I don't show me it now.
I like finding new music that are within different genres because it's a surprise to me.
The way that my brain works is it's about... Like, all the things that I like, I get in really big kicks of it. Like, I'll be a huge, like, Nintendo fan for a year.
Yeah.
Then the next year, I'm like, oh, I fucking love Star Wars more than anything. Gross. And then with like, pop punk, it was like, I was really, like, deep into it. Then I had to take a break because that's all I was about. And then I came back to it for this podcast, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's a bunch of these new bands that I don't know.
You're so welcome.
Yep.
All because of me.
That's my background.
All right, let's get back into it.
Yeah, let's get back into it.
So do I regret sleeping on this band?
I hope so.
I do.
Good.
I really enjoyed their older records, like a lot. Their newer records I've kept more up to date on, and I don't really enjoy as much as the older records as I did. But I still think they're solid releases nonetheless. Really? How do you feel about that?
Nonetheless. When did that come out?
No, like...
What?
I don't enjoy it as much as I did their older records, I still like, believe they're solid releases nonetheless.
I get it.
Okay.
I'm like, they didn't put out an album called Nonetheless.
Great idea for an album
name.
There you go. So anyway, I'm actually going to choose one of their newer songs to contradict myself, and that's Happy Being Miserable. I don't want to know you. I don't think we should talk anymore. I want the best for you. The song. What do you think about it?
I like it. It's off their newest record, right?
Second newest.
Okay. So my brain's been on their newest record lately.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
As much. I will say that.
They're a band I was seeing like last top five where like there's certain bands that put out music that have been around forever and I just kind of dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they're one of these bands, but they put out their newest record and I put it off listening to it because I'm like, it's just going to sound the same. And I disagree. It's a lot heavier than a lot of their older stuff. So
really?
Yeah.
You think that?
In my brain, yes.
Okay, listen. So hit or miss.
But I'm going to tell you why. Because the first three albums that I like by them are very, very pop punk, very early 2000s pop punk. This is more so of that like easy core, harder sounding guitars than they put out previously. Now, I could be completely off. And I mean,
the tones are heavier.
That's what I mean.
Sure, I could see that. Hit or Miss, self-titled, and their record after that that I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
Hit or Miss is on their self-titled, so you have...
My bad. What is the record before that?
That's their first one. Their self-titled is their first record, and then their second one is Sticks and Stones, their third one's Catalyst. And then Coming Home is really fucking good, too.
Listen, all the releases have something I enjoy.
Absolutely.
That's how I feel. So anyway, that's our bands we sleep on.
Hell yeah.
Roper. I think these are bands that a lot of people may be surprised by.
Yeah.
We don't really talk about them much on the show.
No. Unless it like catches us.
Exactly. So anyway, these are bands that we sleep on. Do we regret them? You've learned. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. But I think we've given a nice variety of music.
Absolutely.
For everybody to share on. First of all, if you guys disagree with us, like, why are you sleeping on Newfound Glory? Have you not heard this song?
Show us.
Give us an idea of what you're thinking. Because what it comes down to is that, like, we do not have the time to listen to every song ever released. But
no one does.
Do we want to? We want to hear the best.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. We, like, recommend music all the time. And I think it's time for you guys to show us what you're recommending.
Yeah, dude.
Are you ready to move on to the next event?
Here's a band that I will not sleep on.
Okay. What is it?
Our up and comer.
Oh, okay. Shit. Are any of you listeners in a small and up and coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out and give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
I am.
He's like over there and he's like looking like he's falling asleep.
I am.
You shouldn't be, because this week we have the band What Makes Sense.
Yes.
With their song Rear Windows.
Dude, this song came out yesterday of this recording.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had to update it.
I wanted to make this a new release so bad, but I knew that we were going to have them as our up and comers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, God damn it. But
okay, this is exciting.
Yes.
What Makes Sense is a heavy pop punk band out of New York. You guys are fucking killer. Formed in 2019, the band released their first EP, Fear and Loathing, in 2020. Featuring a single/music video called Spooky, which helped the band gain attention from media outlets such as Alternative Press, releasing a new catalog of songs in 2021. The band is poised to step into a new era with singles Groundhog Day, which was the original song that they sent us, and Cary Grant Leading the Way.
They sent us another song. They sent us Cary Grant after they sent us Groundhog Day, too. And then they're like, wait, we actually have...
we have a new one.
We have a new one coming up.
These guys are fucking up and ready to go.
Dude, these guys are so fucking good.
But here's the story behind Rear Windows. It's very short and sweet. The story is about finally reaching the other side of the pandemic. We've had two songs in a row. Yeah.
Two in a row. Hell
absolutely.
Yeah.
Roper.
We're all ready to get out of that fucking pandy, dude.
Pandy?
I don't know about you, man. I'm ready to get out of the fucking basement, dude.
Are you ready to play the fucking song?
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me, do you sleep at night? It doesn't look like it or things alright. This voyeur life is wearing in, I see. You're looking out at everybody moving on without you as you traced. Let go of all that you know. The life that you lead is struggling, I see. Got nothing but this rear window, and their love for yours is fleeting.
Hunter, what do you think about this band?
Oh, man, I like this. All right, first of all, the band, it's got some fucking grit to it.
They are so good, dude.
They're fantastic. Fantastic new band.
They're only 2 years old, and they're this fucking good.
Yeah, what makes sense, definitely.
It definitely makes sense.
Going to be a staple. Yeah, 100%. Going to be a staple in the new pop-punk scene.
Yes, this is like, they reached out to us a couple months ago, and I definitely was like, yeah, you guys are going to be on the show.
Yeah, 100%.
It's just a matter of when. We have such a solid rotation of up-and-comers.
Yeah.
That we're like,
We're proud of our up-and-comers.
Yeah.
Like, these bands are like, they deserve to be up-and-comers. We're happy to promote their music.
Yes.
And honestly, what makes sense is it just makes sense
that
they belong on the show.
Once they reached out to us, I got really excited, and I was like, can't book you this week, but I want to book you as soon as possible. So,
we want to be fair to everyone that comes on their show. Like, we love each individual person, and what makes sense belongs to this category of like up and coming bands that are going to like take the fucking show.
I'm so stoked to actually spotlight this band because they are so fucking talented.
Absolutely.
Guitar works phenomenal. The bass in the song's fucking funky.
Ooh, funky bass.
Drummer's amazing.
Yeah.
But their vocalist
has some grit.
Their vocalist
has that grit, baby.
So unique.
Mm-hmm. You think it? I would agree that like it's a powerhouse.
It is. It's powerhouse vocals. Whatever they're fucking doing, they're doing it right. And with them only being 2 years old is insane.
Yeah.
Because if we're digging this now, can you imagine how it's going to be 5 years down the line when they're like, hey, we're What Makes Sense and we're fucking
Yeah, we're
going
to be like, oh, hey, we premiered your song.
And they'll
when
be
you
like,
guys were,
be like
yeah, you guys were smaller.
These are our friends, Pop Punk Emo Supremo. But yeah, thank you guys so much for reaching out to us. Like,
absolutely.
You guys are honestly in my solid rotation every week.
Hell yeah.
It's either this or Cary Grant. So whatever you guys are doing, just keep fucking doing it.
Absolutely.
You guys are insane. So, Hunter.
What's up?
I don't know if you know this or not. Do you know where you can reach us?
I have a guess.
You can reach me by cell phone.
Okay. Put out your personal phone,
I'm not
going to
put out my personal information out there.
Wow, fucking pansy.
But if you guys want to talk to me or Hunter, prominently me, or more importantly me, you know.
It's not true, bro.
We're at Pop Punk Emo Supremo we're at PPES Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
All social media platforms.
That's all of them.
Facebook, Twitter,
LinkedIn. No, wait,
Instagram.
Don't do it.
We don't have a LinkedIn.
We do have an OnlyFans coming where Roper puts his feet into pies.
I'm shaving my feet to make it look like women feet.
No. We don't want women. We want Roper's fucking hairy ass toes.
Hey, speaking of smashing pies, last year at the fair, or okay. 2 years ago at the fair, I found this bag. Under a bench. Someone
what kind
left
of bag?
It there. Someone left it there as like a drawstring bag.
Oh, sure.
And so like, I'm like, well, free shit from the fair, you know? So I picked it up and there was like, I didn't look in the bag until about 6 months later. And there was a stethoscope in there. You know, the things where the doctor can hear your heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, why was that at the fucking state fairgrounds?
I don't know. I found
in
it
case
in, found
he,
it
in case
the
there
bag.
Was emergency.
Found it in the bag. But I also found 2 third place ribbons for the Grape Stomper competition.
So, all right, no, let's recap here. Well, no, don't continue. Let's recap. You find a bag. You find a stethoscope.
Stethoscope.
Stethoscope, excuse me. And you find two
third place ribbons. How does a kid get third place twice?
He's like, that's like your like sign of like, you're good, but not that good.
What the fuck? That's so weird. And I had this old picture frame laying around.
Yeah.
So I framed the fucking ribbons in there.
You framed the ribbons?
Yeah, dude.
Why have I never heard this?
I had it on my wall, but like...
You had someone else's accomplishments on your wall?
Yeah. Isn't that funny, dude?
No, it's ridiculous.
You've seen how my apartment's decorated. It's like...
It's fantastically decorated, but I've never seen those fucking...
I know, because I put them up on my wall and I don't have any nails. So I use thumbtacks, and the frame that I use doesn't have, like, it doesn't catch. So anytime my upstairs neighbors would, like, walk around, it would just fall off the fucking wall. Beautiful. And I'm like, these are my third place ribbons. Like, these are my prize possessions.
These are, like, everything I have in
there. I put them up next to my nunchucks on my wall, dude. That's how prize possessions they are.
He's got the Bruce Lee like Dude. Appreciation wall, and then next to them, the third place stomper of grapes.
When I bought those nunchucks, I was 18, and they had like stickers on them.
Have you seen that South Park episode where they buy? That's why I bought them.
That's why
I bought them. It all makes sense.
They had stickers of like silver dragons on there, but the stickers peeled off, and I'm like, well, fuck. Looks like going dragonless here, you know.
Listen, I want to apologize for how many derailings we had during this episode, but it was a fun time.
Yes.
Roper, listen.
I like this content.
We have like a few seconds for you to just make this episode as amazing as it can
be. Dude, I had a shower thought earlier. You want to hear what I was thinking about?
I'm going to hear that shower thought, and I'm going to end on it, so please go.
Have I showed you my anime laugh yet?
This is something new.
So I haven't.
Correct.
So, you know, I'm a huge Dragon Ball Z fan.
Unfortunately. Although I did love the Dragon Ball Z social media post.
Hell yeah, dude.
It was fantastic.
So, like, my favorite character is Gohan, and I got really good at doing his laugh.
Goku's son.
But same voice actor in Dragon Ball. I didn't know that. Anytime they laugh, they do one of these.
All right, let me hear it. All right, Roper.
Daddy.
Roper, I'm going to tell you a joke and you have to end it with the laugh. All right, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Disappointment.
Disappointment who?
I'm disappointing you.
Jeez, Goku.
Brian, can you tell me you love me?
Say it back.
I got that on fucking. Yeah. I got that on audio. I'm fucking set.
Put that
for the rest
at the
of my
end
life.
Of the episode.
I will.
Yeah, I've told you this before. You're also gonna get me shitting in the toilet.
Put that on the end of the episode.
Where did that come from?
Because I'm taking a shit.
All right. Goodbye. I'll see you at 5.